Take your Bibles this evening. We're in Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. Pastor, so why so many former law enforcement guys are Baptist ministers? Because Baptist churches need somebody with police power. Missed my ticket book. I missed my handcuffs. So it was just a funny story. When my pastor sent me here, he said, don't come here. This church is preacher killers. And then after I'd been here for a while, he said, now I know. They just needed somebody with arrest powers. They needed a policeman. But God's got a different path for us, and it's amazing how he takes us and molds us and shapes us. And just a reminder that all things, even that little side job you've got, God will work that for good if you love him. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So follow God. And that thing you're doing right now is not a waste. The dark time you're going through, the time of unemployment, that is not a waste. It is not a waste. You let God use that for good. Babylon faces a judgment day. Revelation chapter 18, this is kind of a part two from last week. We're going to start in verse 9 and read through chapter 19, verse 6. So follow along as I read. Revelation 18, verse 9. This, we're talking about political Babylon, the commerce centers of the world. And they, in the last chapter, when the harlot church, again, the contrast, God calls it the great whore, as opposed to the bride of Christ, the church being the bride. And what a contrast between the two. And that is on purpose. That is on purpose. So Babylon, commercial Babylon, the governments of the world, the money makers, they're not crying when religion is eliminated, but they cry when money is eliminated. Revelation chapter 18, verse 9, because money is their god. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city. And we're, again, these two chapters, parenthetical, we're coming down to the end of the tribulation period. We have opened the seals. In the seventh seal, we open the seven trumpet judgments. In the seventh trumpet judgment, we open the seven vial judgments, but they are all under that seventh seal. And as we're in the seventh vial, we're going at breakneck speed down to the end of the tribulation period. And you think the tribulation period to us, that's, man, 7 years. Of intense judgment. That's a long time. But when you think of the tribulation period as this is the Antichrist hurrah, and all he gets is 7 years, that's it. It is a very short, brief period of time, as opposed to, say, America, that has been going several hundred years. The Antichrist world kingdom will be 7 years, 7 years only. And at the end of that, coming down to the seventh vial judgment, it's not a bowl judgment. The critical text Bibles do that, and it changes the meaning, it changes the tenor of it. A vial is a short little glass piece, and so people look at the tribulation period and they say God's judgment is overboard. That would be a bowl. And God just filled up a bowl and poured it out. But it's not a bowl. God said a vial. A vial is medicinal. It is a measured, purposely measured portion of God's wrath. God's not going overboard. He is very calculated. It is done on purpose. So you get to verse 10, and as the kings of the earth have sold their soul for money. And they are on. The Antichrist is in it 7 years. He's been ruling, conquering, defiling of the temple. He'd been doing that for 7 years. When you come down to this last vial, right to the very end of the tribulation period, and the kings of the earth say, we're going to align with Satan. They have that power 1 hour. So think about that very short period of time. Now, as the world thinks, they're going to live forever. They don't think that their way of life is ever going to come to an end. And so they sell their soul for literally 1 hour. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. Why? Because they've lost their income. No man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Why? Because there's no money. People are trying to find food. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls, fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses. What is this? This is a world economy. It's just toast. It's just done. And chariots and slaves and souls of men. And your precious iPhone. And your Tesla. And your Lamborghini. What is it? And nothing, because there's no electric, there's no gas, there's nothing. The world commerce is done. It's over. It's gone. Verse 14. The fruits of that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And this is an interesting phrase that shows up here in verse 14. And shows up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times throughout the remainder of this chapter. How final is this judgment? Notice what God says in verse 14. Thou shalt find them no more at all. And it's gone. It's done. There's no revival. There's no rekindling. There's no reorganizing. There's not going to be another nation. They're gone. Verse 15, the merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, man, didn't see that coming. They should. Why? Because you can. Why? Because here it is. It's right here in the book. America, notwithstanding, is going to be aligned with all the nations that reject God and line up with all the nations of the world against God, all without exception. And in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust. This is an interesting tradition coming out of Middle East. Jewish folks, they'll take dust. They'll throw it in the air a dramatic fashion. So here's these folks, they're throwing the dust in the air, and they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing. And didn't cry over this when they crucified Christ. They didn't cry like this when the Christians disappeared at the beginning of the rapture. They didn't cry like this when they were beheading. Revelation 20, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. They didn't cry then, but they're crying now because money is their God. And their God has just died and gone. Cast dust on their heads. He cried, alas, alas, that great city. In 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, verse 20, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down and again, notice the phrase, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and of musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all. What a contrast from when the two witnesses, what were they doing? They were telling people to flee the wrath to come, and their bodies were slain and left in the streets, and people wanted to bury them, but the vast majority of the world said no, no. They would not suffer their bodies to be buried. They celebrated like Christmas, giving gifts to one another, celebrating that God's witnesses of God's salvation and God's grace and mercy, they're gone. And so they're giving gifts to one another like it's Christmas time. But there's no rejoicing now, because they've exhausted their 7 years. They've exhausted the witness of God. They've exhausted the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. They have scoffed at the two witnesses. They have seen them rise from being dead and ascend up into heaven. And they have rejected the witness of God right down to the very end, till they take their very last breath. But there is no music to be played. No more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard. What's a millstone? Food. Millstone would grind the corn and the feed and the wheat and make it into flour so that it could be consumed. Coming down to the end tribulation period, seven file judgment. Jesus Christ is about to plant his feet on the Mount of Olives in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Not the rapture, is not second coming, second coming of Jesus Christ. And that sound, sound of millstone, sound of food manufacturing, will be heard no more at all. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more. God done. And it is a frightening thing to sin away the day of grace. And God speaks to your heart. That's a sad day for the unbelievers, a sad day for Christian as well. Talking about that Sunday morning. It's easy for us to look on these folks and say, how could you be so foolish? When is the last time you saw something from God's Word very clearly laid out and you said, no. No. That voice of the bridegroom, shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations, all without exception, all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints, and of that were slain upon the earth. Chapter 19, there's a different scene in heaven. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Heaven is an actual place. God did not give you heaven. The gift of God is not heaven. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That where I am, there ye may be also. Thief, again, thief on the cross. Where will I? Remember me. Today thou shalt be with me. But don't look for the destination. We should look to be with Christ, the crucified one. And but here, heaven is a place. Saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Notice their description, their witness of God's judgment. For true, verse 2, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand, measured. And again they say, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God and sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, all ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord our God omnipotent reigneth. And he done. The collective cry of the world today is we don't have enough money. Fairfax County school systems, our school system complain of they don't have enough money. And while they push the Board of Supervisors to give them more money, they come up with a plan for the superintendent of our public school system to have a private security person to protect her and to go with her and to drive her around to the tune of $185,000 a year. But they're out of money. Well, they're not out of money because you're not out of money yet, and they haven't taken it from you yet. Hold on to your pocketbook. Money, money, money is their cry. And the power to tax is the power to control. The power to tax is the power to take. But in Revelation chapter 18, that power will be taken from them. It will be heard no more at all. No more. A cry. What motivates the cry? It's not repentance. It's not sorrow for sin. It's not a desire to know Christ. Their cry is motivated by their loss of monetary power, motivated by fear. Why? Because there is no hope. Now, Christian, we ought to be a contrast. This world, we see this world, we see it running at breakneck speed in their hatred of God. But we should be a people of hope. Why? Because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We should not live like this is the final destination. The fall, quickly, 1 hour. No one sees it coming. Somebody at the Pentagon ought to tell somebody to read their Bible. Really. Because here it is. And there's no need to be ignorant. But we close the book and we set it aside. Because the wisdom of man, so man thinks, is greater than God. Never will be. Never will be. Is it for you? This fall, Revelation chapter 18, is not without precedent. 1 hour. Destruction in 1 hour. Say, preacher, where in world history is there a destruction as great as this? Well, there is nothing like this, but there is some destruction on a timeline of world history that should get our attention. You ever heard of Noah? Worldwide flood. Have you heard of the names of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? God's judgment rained down again on a very small piece of real estate, but it should get our attention. It should get the world's attention. But like Nebuchadnezzar, we are so quick to forget. And in 1 hour, it is gone. And the merchants cry. I call it the trickle-down effect. This is not a bottom-up. This is a top-down. This is not the consumers at home saying, you know what, we're going to boycott, I don't know, Target or Home Depot. This is top-up. When everything crashes, they say, "Well, I've got money in gold." Gold will do you no good. And if they had it and it was worth anything, they'd kill you. And you're not going to have it. It's not without precedent. Recently, we watched the federal government downsize, the result of which the state governments in the Washington, D.C. area have done what? Cried. Cried. We got people out of job, income down. And so what did the governments of the northern Washington, D.C., this area of the country, talking about Maryland, PG County, and Montgomery County, and Fairfax County, and Loudoun County, and Prince William County do? Because people are out of a job, and they're hurting, and inflation is up. What do? They raise taxes. Because they don't care about the people. Money is their motivator. And you've got a little bit more. And they know what you have. And they're coming for it because that's their motivation. As in Acts chapter 19, when the idol makers cried because their ability to make commerce had been ruined by the preacher, because people were getting saved. And the great goddess of Diana of the Ephesians couldn't avenge that because she's not God. In this chapter, the fine clothiers of the world are crushed. Your designer clothes will mean nothing. The expensive perfumes and spice markets are crushed in 1 hour. The abundance of food, especially fine food, seem like the rich still manage to eat when the poor people cannot, but not here, they won't. Crushed in 1 hour, seen no more at all. The automobile and the transportation industry, crushed, is denoted in the animals that we read about. And I find myself, and I say this for my military guys, the war machine is crushed. When? In 1 hour. Yet even though the war machine is crushed, even though there's no gas for other vehicles, you never wonder why there's going to be horsemen at that battle. Blood up to the horse's bridle because there's no gas, there's no vehicles, there's nothing to run in it. I mean, the economy is crushed as it comes up to that. But still, the world does not come to God. They thumb their nose at God and they mass an army that is unprecedented to do what? Make war with God. And it is not going to end well. But it's a warning to be careful. I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes on that which is not? What do you have your minds, your eyes, your heart set upon? It causes us to make decisions that are contrary to this book. When money is your God, you will sell your soul for something that is not. Riches, some have coveted after. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Revelation chapter 18, they are crushed. If your hope is in government, your hope is going to be crushed. If your hope is in the Antichrist, that hope is going to be crushed. If your hope is in your mom and dad dying so you can get their inheritance or their house or their car, that hope is going to be crushed, found no more at all. And they cry. We ought to be careful. Because the love of money is still the root of all evil. Hold your place here in Revelation chapter 18. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus has given the Sermon on the Mount. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But what ought we to do? But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your heart tonight? Revelation chapter 19. Grief can only be found on earth, but again, a contrast in heaven. There is rejoicing. Why? Righteous judgment. This destruction taking place, again, right at the very end of the tribulation period. The nations are deceived, the merchants deceived, the religious crowd deceived. But your Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you reap to the flesh, you will reap corruption. You should sow to the Spirit and reap life everlasting. These two, apostate religion and apostate world government, the beast, suffer a similar fate. They are crushed. Chapter 19 has been said to be a bridge chapter, bridging the end of the 7 years of tribulation, the final vile judgment culminating in the second coming of Jesus Christ, when Christ plants his feet down on the Mount of Olives, ushering in the millennial reign of Christ. So are you eternally minded? Or when you sing the song, do you sing, this world is my home, I'm not planning on passing through, my treasures are laid up in my 401k. May I remind you that your Bible does not say that your government should supply all your need, or your 401k should supply all your need, or your Social Security should supply all your need. The Bible doesn't say that everybody should get health insurance. Matter of fact, you want to let your light shine a little bit. Next time you have a conversation with your doctor, say, I'm not afraid to go to heaven. I'm not afraid to go. So where's your treasure? Where's your hope? Where's your optimism? Where's your trust? Who holds your salvation? Who has given you the gift of God, which is eternal life? Because of all you see here, this is all going. It's all going to disappear. What treasures have you laid up? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're here this evening. You say, preacher, I do not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Pretty clearly, all this stuff is going to end. I can see that pretty clearly laid out in God's Word, but I am not prepared for that day. Preacher, would you pray for me? Slip your hand up, hold it up. Say, pastor, pray for me. I don't believe that I am prepared for that day. Let me say, if you're here this evening and you do not believe you are prepared for that day, you should be sitting down with me. You're away by technology this evening. You're hearing this at a later date on the internet. You should be calling this preacher on the phone and saying, what must I do to be saved? That would be the smart question to ask. What? And I'll point you to God's Word. The Word that became flesh dwelt among us. Father, I thank you for your grace and your goodness. Thank you for the warnings that you have given us from your Word. Pray for that man or woman who is not certain they are prepared, that they would make preparation, that they would know that they have been duly warned, and they would live according to your Word. Father, I pray for the Christians in the room that we would not get so caught up with the hustle and bustle and the daily grind that we forget that we are here for a purpose. And that purpose is to shine for you and point people to your salvation. Help us to do it, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.